This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There is an option to get us forward.
Just to add to that as well, mate, like the thing is I think the biggest difference you've seen is with Edwards, we would have the spell before sort of at 0-0, right? Most games where we were really good for 20 minutes or half an hour. We inevitably then go behind and then we would just completely crumble and it was like, how many are they going to score? Today, we went 1-0 down, but you wouldn't have really known if it had said 0-0 at the time. The patterns of play didn't really change. The game didn't really change. We didn't then sit in. We didn't look like it could be a cricket score. It just looked like it wasn't 0-0. And I think that's the biggest thing. Harris has already obviously instilled some sort of hard-to-beat mentality or just a bit of mental toughness about us at the minute, which, as I say, I know we went on to lose 2-0, but it didn't look any different going 1-0 behind. And I think that's the biggest change, I would say, that we've seen. Because under Edwards, if we'd have gone 1-0 down today, it would have been, well, how many is it going to be?
Problem is with loan. Obligation to buy, yeah, that's a good point. Even though we're absolutely convinced we're going to sign Longman in the summer, or at least wouldn't be surprised if he's still in the pipeline for Campbell as well.
The thing is with that, when I say that the obligation with a loan, you've got to pick and choose the right. Let's face it, we signed Ryan Longman from I'll come back to that in a minute. We signed Ryan Longman from Hull and we signed Jafet Tanganga from Spurs. You can't compare the two. Why? I think we'd be more. You'd already before seeing them kick a ball in a Millwall shirt, be looking at saying, "Well, we want to sign the guy from Spurs more than we want to sign the guy from Hull." Unless the guy from Hull would come in and bag load of goals. But if that was the case, Hull wouldn't let him go. I think you pick and choose what players that you would implement those deals.
That's where you've got over the last couple of years. Hull haven't been knocking on the door of the playoffs. They've been in the bottom half of the league.
So now they've got an owner that's interested and wants to put money into the club.
Exactly my point. So they've now got a bolstered squad where they've gone and got Premier League players, or you've got a player that's coming down from the Premier League that's not being picked. That unfortunately, we're in a market where players' salaries, players' transfer worth are beyond probably what they are worth. And again, unfortunately, we're in a position that we can't afford to probably say to Spurs, we'll pay you £5 million for Jafet Tanganga. I can't remember where he was going in Germany, but they had an obligation to buy
Augsburg, it was.
So for 12 million quid, that tells you all you need to know about the sort of player that you've got. You've got a £12 million player there, or potential. So, yeah, it's great to say we want to have an obligation to buy, but we also need to be realistic in saying Augsburg wanted to buy him for 12 million quid. We haven't got fucking £12 million to pay.
I agree 100% with that. But at the time as well, and again, I know this is a real specific deal that we're talking about, but he went over there on the premise that he was going to play, got an injury, didn't, went back to Spurs, and Spurs are ready to show him the door. So but in January...
My point about Stephen is he's still a £12 million player because Augsburg were ready to pay £12 million. You've got Ryan Longman, who we're arguably saying is a £1 million player, for example, or you've got Jack Tango, £12 million. that's the argument.
No, so I get it.
Longman
get
to
it.
One Jaffet Sanganga, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but that's my argument. Right? We're talking about Premier League players we've got on loan, or another team in the Championship we've got on loan, and that's the quality and that's the difference. We're saying we'll sort of give or take Ryan Longman. He can go back. I wouldn't mind. I think he's a decent squad player, but he's going to cost you still £1 million. Or you got Jaffet Tanganga, who's going to be paid £12 million in the German league. So that's my point. You're talking about players that are going to really improve us, but are so far out of our budget. So what do we say? We just don't want them for that half a season? We'd rather not have them? Because if we didn't have Tanganga, I would say we'd be in a much worse position.
Yeah.
Hang on,
Stephen, just before you go on, I'm just going to say that comment here from Graf31i. Good evening. He doesn't think Cooper's was an elbow swing. I think he just swung his hand back to check where the attacker was and happened to catch him. And he's a Leeds fan, interestingly. So see it from the opposition. So when the EFL come giving Cooper his ban, we'll send him your way, mate, and see what happens.
Absolutely. Ben, just to I agree with what you're saying and your points. It is harder to you know, £1 million player and a £12 million player. What I'm thinking and the lines that I'm going along are, if you're going for a Premier League player, and let's face it, in January, the conversation at Spurs would probably have been, he's not going to be here at the end of the season. For whatever reason, Spurs are now looking at him or you know, Ange's gone, maybe we need to have a look at him and give him an opportunity. That was the report that came out. But if you're going for a player that's unlikely to be at their club, and that their contract situation, why not, you know, rather than maybe an obligation, as someone, I think someone put a comment, an option. So let us have an option to see if we can sort a deal out. Have first refusal. If we don't take
I get that. But again, in my Football Manager head, you have to be over a certain age. And he's under that age of where you can offer him a contract in January. So it would have to be we're paying Spurs a fee.
Right.
You have to be over 24, I believe, for English club to English club.
Can't do it in January.
If you're over 25, basically.
No, you have to wait until May if it's from another English team.
If you're over 25, you can offer them a contract for the Bosman ruling in the UK. If you're under 24, Sanganga's 24, right? So I don't think...
I think he is,
You can't offer him a contract between British clubs.
Yeah.
He could go to Augsburg on a free transfer because he's out of the UK. But again, you could have offered him a fee. I get that, but my point of that is we haven't what Spurs wanted from us. If they wanted 12 mil from Augsburg, how much are they going to want from us in January?
Yeah, but that hang on. I was just going to say you've got 2 years to get out, or you're stuck on a hamster wheel for 10 years. I think that's pretty much spot on. To be fair, I think if one of the three relegated teams from last season doesn't go up this year, I think they'll be right up there again next season. Because I'm just going to skip forward a few comments and just say I don't think the Championship will be as strong next year. And I do want to agree.
I'll caveat that. You look at the clubs that are coming up; they're fucking big clubs.
I look at that. Like Portsmouth have done really well, but I look at Derby and I'm like, look at Derby squad and manager, and I'm like, I'm not scared by the prospect of having to play Derby. We've played Derby loads of times.
My whole point of that, Dan, is they're a big side and they'll attract bigger players, and we'll be able to attract in the summer. They'll be able to pay more wages and we'll be able to pay.
Well, Derby's kind of a weird example. They're still under an EFL plan where they have to cap their spending a little bit.
But not. I'm sure that isn't counted if they come back up, right?
I don't know, but they might be, they might not be.
I'd be surprised if they couldn't play. I mean, I'd be amazed if they couldn't pay what players' wages more than we can. I'd imagine their top earners would be as big as ours.
Derby's, yeah, I don't disagree with that, but... I just don't feel scared, but I don't think the Championship will be as strong next year. I don't think Sheffield United will be...
I'll chuck this at you. So the Rotherham go down, Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield, say. We're just two of the three that are in there now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pompey, Bolton and Derby come up. I would argue they're bigger clubs.
Bigger clubs, yes, but does it mean they're better? Like, are they better?
No, they'll be able to spend more and attract more, I would say. Probably not Bolton, because they've been down there for a while now, but...
And I would say... Derby might not want to. Like, would Derby want to take a risk with what happened before?
I don't think they'll have a go as much as they did before, but I'd still be surprised if I would think Derby's a more attractive proposition.
I'm not saying Derby if they do come up, because I do think they will come up given their result yesterday. I don't think they'll be the whipping boys of the league, but I don't think they'd do any better than Sheffield Wednesday would this season, for example.
No, probably not. I'm more thinking players and who we can attract versus who they can attract.
Do you not think, though, that you both make valid points and you're both right together, that the league probably won't be as strong because you're not going to have the four teams at the top of the league that are absolutely tanking it? Because I don't think the teams from the Premier League are going to come down are going to be as good as what Leicester.
But just to caveat that, Sheffield United and Burnley, every time they've come down,
I know.
So they're going to walk the league again next year.
I don't know. History would suggest that, but you've also taken into account if Norwich don't do it, they're going to lose some of their better players. If West Brom don't do it, they're going to lose some of their better players. If Hull don't do it,
so that changes, right?
If they don't do it though, their players are still going to move on to if they get the opportunity to go. Do you really think that players like Jaden Philogene is going to stay at Hull if the Premier League really come calling for him?
Not so much Hull, but West Brom, yeah, that will change now, right? Because obviously there was rumours about them being completely fucked this year if they don't go up. But they've obviously got new owners now, so that's going to change.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're both right. The league might not necessarily be as tough in the sense of, you know, the bridging quality of the teams at the top. However, the teams that will replace whoever get relegated are likely to be stronger than your Rotherhams, than your Huddersfields. So I think there's a hint of truth in both sides to that, in both sides of that argument.
In other news, I'm making friends with Leeds fans from Mark here. Good evening. If that's the championship, the best to offer. Listen, I don't watch Leeds on a weekly basis, okay? Despite how much you're on Sky Sports, I do not watch Leeds United on a weekly basis. I'm only going off what I saw today and what I saw in the reverse fixture at the Den, pretty much. And from what I saw, Ipswich were the better team over the 290 minutes of football that I watched. When I watched Ipswich v Millwall for 180 minutes this season, Leeds v Millwall, I've been more impressed by Ipswich when I've seen them play.
I was about to say, Ipswich fucking destroyed us for two games. I didn't feel at any point today that Leeds were tearing us apart.
No, exactly. So, you know.
But they kind of did at home. They did batter us at home.
Yeah, but Ipswich battered us home and away, so.
Yeah.
We have a league one.
Well, go back to that last week. What was Mark's last piece there? We're the 16th richest club in Europe. Well, fucking congratulations. You're still in the championship.
That means you don't need your parachute payments, mate. You don't need your parachute payments.
Why aren't you necking?
Here we go. Look at Coventry City up front. You can tell Ben's had a beer. They're
such a big club, aren't they?
Massive, up front, Hadji Wright and Ellis Sims, and we have nothing. Well, the reason they have Hadji Wright and Ellis Sims, if you rewind to last season, was Victor Gyökeres. That was great scouting from them to get him for $1 million, and they sold him for 25, and they reinvested that 25. And I think they spent, I think it adds up to eventually, if they get all the obligations and add-ons and stuff, I think it's about 15 million quid for them two combined. So you would be hoping they're scoring goals for you and scoring on a regular basis.
And that is exactly what I was talking about earlier on, when you talk about we're looking for a way of, you know, keeping up with these clubs and balancing the books a little bit more. Coventry identify a player, sell him for big money, bring in two players who are helping them to what, eighth in the league and the semi-finals of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
When we lose a player, we lose them on a free and that's it. We have to replace them on a free. That's where well-run clubs will start, like Coventry, will start to be competitive every season at this level, at least.
That's the way you have to do it, right?
I'm going to move. I'm going on to the next comments now. If you thought you just saw a head doster and Ben, then these next two comments are going to be even better for him. So the first one's back from Mark.
That was a long time ago, though. Now hold on. That was about 20 minutes ago.
Leeds fan, we're saying you're 16th richest club in Europe. Well, congratulations, you're still in the championship. Yeah, you're going to get out of it, but you're still in the championship, mate. Next point.
Okay, right. Here's the next one for you, Ben. You might have another head loss here.
just for the benefit of anyone listening on a podcast who's not looking at Ben, Femi is a better than headless chicken Bradshaw.
But listen, Obafemi's done all right in five games. He did all right today. I've said he was it's his best performance probably for us today. I thought he worked hard, did well. He looks a threat. Did he score? No. So, what are we comparing him on today? He didn't score a goal. Like, Bradders would have worked hard today. So, again, yeah.
Here we go. Imagine a Morrison-type player alongside Obafemi. Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But we shall obviously have short, unsurprisingly, as we always do in January. Just seeing the Nonso goal, why do our defenders back off? Yeah, frustrating, but sometimes you've also got to say it was a good strike and a good goal, I think, in some respects.
Oh, Mark does have some common sense, does he?
Again, these comments were like 20 minutes ago. So he's going to come back now.
I said we're 8 minutes behind on comments. We're now about 15 about minutes behind.
16, which has come in Europe.
Stephen, you've got your shorts on, apparently. You have knobbly tees.
I do, yeah.
It's an option, not an obligation. You can get both. You can get an option or an obligation to buy and loan.
Also, I am going to do this because I know there's probably comments coming up. It's not me that's in control of the comments at the moment. It's Dan. So if you're going to aim any hate at the comments being behind, it's that way. It's that way, not me. I'm no responsibility here.
What about a Tom Eaves next? I think Tom Eaves has scored about 10 goals in his last three championship seasons.
We're mugging off Bradshaw and saying, want Tom Eaves? Do me a fucking favour.
We're moving on. the better tango does for it. Yeah, that's how it is, really. I think Dan's pretty much right there. Ben, you need to play more Football Manager because 24 means they can join us at the end of the season for free. It's 23 and under.
That's what I said, mate. 24, 23, same thing.
Same thing. And he's 28 until he's 29, kind of vibes from that.
Yeah.
Whilst Dan does his best to make his way through the comments, I'm going to throw a question at Ben and Dan get involved as well. So, 8 games to go. I know there's a couple of teams that have got 9, but they're above us, and I don't think none of them really make any difference to us. 8 games to go.
Yeah.
4 points off the relegation zone, and we still have to play a few of the teams, Huddersfield and Rotherham, specifically Plymouth as well. Do we think whatever happens, it's going to go down to the last game at Swansea?
No, I think we'll beat Plymouth and that should do us. I think we should be okay by then. I think you look at goal difference as well. Like recently, when we haven't been losing games, we haven't been getting absolutely obliterated, which is quite key. And earlier in the season, I know we was losing quite heavily, but it was either keep a clean sheet or concede 4 goals. So we have actually managed to stand ourselves in kind of good stead with goal difference. Whereas you look at Sheffield Wednesday, you'd almost say they're actually 2 points off safety because of that goal difference. So that could be important. So I think given our goal difference is decent, I think we'll win a couple of games. I think we'll beat Plymouth and final day in South Wales would be a no contest kind of game.
And then a follow-up question to that. Right now, Rotherham aside, because I think we all know that they're going to be...
Can we offer Ben a ride regardless, more quickly, please? Can tell Ben's on the Stella tonight, very vocal.
Just allowed to be on tonight, Dan. Just nice to be invited, mate. That's all it is.
Derby
are only just meeting legal UK requirements. Then if Conor Hourihan's on £12 a week.
do we actually think there'll be many more of our players or more than that?
There is a couple.
Every one of our players is going to be on more than £12 a week. Let's get that right for a start. But yeah, I think you'd be surprised on the wages that some of our players are on. I reckon I would say.
I'd love to know what Longman's earning.
I don't.
I mean, you would because I reckon you'd fucking your head would fall.
I would say, correct me, and you might shoot me down a little bit. So more than 12K, I reckon you could probably name 6 or 7 at least.
I reckon I could.
Ben?
If we've got 6 or 7, Jesus Christ. I reckon 4 at most.
I don't know. I reckon, considering that the portion of wages that we would be paying of the likes of, I would say, Obafemi, and Tanganga.
Okay, I didn't have them. I just meant our own players.
So our own players, I reckon you're looking at Fleming.
Yeah. Yep.
Joe Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one might be a little bit rogue, but because he's been there a long time and he's captain, Sean Hutchinson.
Possibly, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had him, but yeah, go on.
Casper Dunor.
Yeah, I had Casper in.
Again, because of the longevity, and this one might be a little bit of a rogue one, but Jake Cooper, because he signed a new deal as well.
I would have anticipated Cooper
being
there.
I'm not sure about Coops.
Yeah, I think he would be on there. I think he is.
And the other one that springs to mind again, and this is another rogue one, would be Matty Sarkic.
I was about to say Sarkic is one I had on my list as well.
But maybe.
I just think that we've got to a point, and it's similar. And again, guys in the chat, when we get to it, if guys in the chat, how many players do you think that we have at the moment on our books that are Millwall players, not loans, that are on £12,000 a week, but or more? When I say that, Ben, you what you spoke about earlier is nailed on. Is that for us to improve as a football club, we have to have investment in the playing squad. Now, whilst that might not necessarily come in transfer fees, you still have to compete with wages for players. And I think that's where maybe...
So let me turn that question around, Steve. So we've got 12K now, and we said about the teams that would come up. So even if we have six or seven, I'll turn that around, as I say. How many do you reckon of Pompey or Derby would they have? Because I reckon that would be at least double figures.
Isn't there a rule in League One, a limit on
Portsmouth. If they come up, how many players do you think they would have on more than 12K? Because I'd say it'd be double figures.
I think Bolton have got quite a lot of players.
Not so much Bolton, but say Derby and...
I think Derby have a lot of players around 12 grand a week because of their restrictions.
So that's my point, mate, right? So we're saying now we've got a senior squad and we're only saying maybe seven or eight max. And then you're saying Derby are going to come up from League One. That's exactly my point. I think there'd be a lot from that squad and they'd be able to attract a lot more.
I mean, we may be wrong as well, just to point out there. And some of the guys, when we get to it in the chat, might turn around and go, good evening, Chris. Stephen, you're full of an example.
By the way, on YouTube.
Oh no, I tell you what. If you don't follow Chris on Instagram, the picture he's posted off of his weekend break today, he's nailed it. He's absolutely nailed it.
In Gillingham High Street, wherever it was. What do you want to put that? Somewhere.
I'm not going to do Chris like that. I'm not going to do him like that. Tell you, Stephen, looking sharp.
Because you've nailed it, according to Chris, which is obviously very high praise today. Your first example is
I've heard he's gone to Turkey to get his teeth done.
Just can you deny or confirm, Chris?
Oh, Chris, Ben is literally, he's calling everyone out. We're going to have to kick him off in a minute.
I'm just
another one for you as well, Ben.
Sorry, I didn't even see the quote from Chris. Can you put that back on there?
Yeah.
Stephen, your Philogene example is a perfect one. Hull being able to attract someone we never could with excellent resale potential. And that this is what I was talking about. And again, Ben, your points are valid. And maybe I'm looking at it from a slightly hopeful point of view. But it's the same in, you know, business, in anything, to speculate to accumulate type thing. You have to be willing to take a little bit of a risk. Now Hull were lucky because they were in a position where they were already kind of on the cusp of the playoffs, so they could say to players, look, come in and try and get us over the line. Yeah, I thought so. So yeah, they were on the cusp. They had the luxury. We're going, look, we're in a potential relegation battle. Please come and save us. I was saying, look, come and try and get us into the Premier League, and we'll be able to offer you X money and blah blah blah. So I understand that, but I think there has to be an element of identifying a player. And whilst it might be a little bit of an outlay at the front, you're going to have to try and take a risk. I get that you could say they tried it with Nisbet, it's not worked. They tried it with other players maybe that they brought in that, you know, haven't quite, like, for example, our good friend Andreas Vogelsammer. again, maybe not looking for resale value, but spending money on players to come in and try and make us better, that hasn't worked. But I think you still have to keep trying to do that if you want to improve as a football club.
Yeah, 100%. It's the only way a club like us is going to improve, get better, be able to reinvest in the squad, right? And I always go back to the Fleming thing. I get there's a mitigating circumstance around it with JB, which happened, but exactly that point there, LH, yeah, we could have and should have sold Fleming. That's the whole point. You buy
Fleming,
you
has, buy Fleming has got a lot of points for us this season with his goals.
Yeah, but like, but you can't look at it like that. You've got to look at what's going to be
There's two sides of a coin, mate. I think you do have to look at it like that. So
we're talking about buying players on a resale value. So if we'd have signed Charlie Creswell for £4 million and someone had offered us 16, we'd have turned it down because he'd have won us some points. You can't
I'm not saying that.
That's what you're saying about Fleming, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know, because you can look at it. It's easier to look back now, don't get me wrong. I couldn't say that at the start of the season and go, Fleming is going to win.
But that's exactly my point with Ade Criswell. It doesn't matter who it is, right? You sign the young player.
No, I do get what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing, but it's like Fleming has won us a lot of points this season with his goal contributions. So
yeah, but so could you have said that we would have invested three players that we could have signed for X amount by selling Fleming?
I was about to say, but could you? I mean, you'd like to think if we'd have sold Fleming for 12 million and signed a striker for 3 million and another attacking midfielder like him for 2 and then a winger for 2,
you would like to think we would have. So we can't bark on about signing signing Charlie Criswell because they got sell on value and then going, yeah, but they might have signed kept us some points. Yeah, but that's the whole point of signing young players.
Yeah.
We've signed Fleming. We all don't think he's going to be here for 5 years. We've had a really good offer. And as I say, if you look at percentages, I don't know what the increase would have been from 1.2 or 1.4 to 10 or whatever the numbers were from Burnley. But I don't need to be fucking Einstein to work out. It's a pretty hefty percentage increase.
Yeah.
So you've got to look to sell someone like from a business perspective.
That's all it is.
And if you sign those sorts of young players, you've got to realise you're not going to have them for 2-3 years. No matter how many points they win or lose you, you need to move them on.
I do get what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just thought I'd bring another side of the argument to the table.
And I get that, but you can't. I don't think you can ever look at it like that because then you'd be there all day, right? We're not that sort of club. We have to try and buy low and sell high. We had an opportunity to sell high and we didn't take it.
Yeah.
That comment there, that's bang on.
By the way.
Yeah, is bang on.
Especially as well.
Every club in the Football League now has an extensive scouting analyst staff knows every player from the National League to where we are now.
We don't. It's quite interesting, though, as well, because someone like the City Group, who obviously their owners own about 20, 25 clubs around the world, they can just go and cherry pick all these young players from all these clubs around the world. Because as you said, they're going to have so many notes on who the best players are, who the upcoming players are. And they can just sign them all to Man City or Girona or whatever, sell them between the clubs to balance out FFP between each other and then loan them out to keep developing them. So, you know, football does have an ownership problem, but that's a completely different show. And I think we're very lucky with our owners. So fortunately, we don't need to go too deep into that at the moment. Sheffield Wednesday goal difference, exactly. Yeah, that's what I think it is. So Fleming won't be here next season.
It's probably a very good point because
I don't think he will be, unfortunately.
So he's gonna have 1 year left on his deal in the summer. What do we do as a football club there?
That's where we've been in that situation too many times before, haven't we?
And the only ending that ever has is we sell him for absolutely nowhere near his market value.
Yeah. I wish we could say it would be nice to say we're the 16th richest club in Europe. At the moment, are we the 16th best team in the Championship? I think that's our 16th claim to fame at the moment.
Dan, the only thing I would say is I'm the 16th best looking geezer on the podcast.
Well, it's above you then. We've ever had 16 people on the podcast.
I know, that was the point, mate.
Does that mean I might get in above you? Yes, come on. Six more points. I think 9 might be the magic ticket at this point, just where we are. But, you know.
I still think 50. Get to 50 points and get to 50 and you'll be all right.
Okay, yeah. Ipswich may play better football, but have they gone unbeaten in 2024? Look, listen, I'm only going off what I've seen, okay? There's no denying. Look, I've made loads of friends here with that comment, haven't I? Look.
I'm assuming that's another Leeds fan, is it?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah. The thing is, right, this is the best way I can describe it, and I'm going to say it, and if there's any Leeds fans watching this is aimed at directly at you. We don't like Leeds United Football Club. We do not like them, right? There's no doubt, there is no doubt that your run in 2024 is fantastic. You're unbeaten.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But you should be with the squad that you have. You have caught Leicester and you probably will go on to the Premier League. You won the game today. Well done. But just because someone doesn't agree or say that Leeds are the best team in the division,
it's not a big deal. It's best team in Europe, mate. Get it right.
No, it's not a big... It's not that deep. It really isn't.
Moving on. Why did you start early? Before we have another head loss. I'm struggling to contain one head loss tonight. Okay.
Go back to Stephen. It's better.
Why did you start early? I started early because Jay said he could do 8 o'clock and then had to drop out because his work called and it threw it into chaos. You boys left me on my own. Ben had to sort out his Litlin and you were sorting bits out. So it's all been a shambles, London Lions. So I do apologise. You'd have to go back and watch it all. But before we move on, going back to Leeds, well done. You won the game today, right? And there's been some Leeds fans that have been in the comments really interested to talk about the game and things like that. But just because we come on here and say that Ipswich are better than you, fact of the matter is they were better than you when we saw Ipswich were better against us than what Leeds have been. That's just a fact.
It's just opinions.
Yeah. No, it's a fact, Dan. It is.
They're the 16th biggest club in Europe.
But if you want to come on and have a conversation. It just really frustrates me when you lose a game and people go,
the whole point why we hate Leeds, right? This is exactly what they do. They're the 16th biggest club in Europe.
But
swing their dicks about
But I appreciate.
Hold on.
Whoa. Before we do that, if any Leeds fans are still watching this and want to have a conversation about the game or your thoughts or on us for our season or whatever, absolutely fine, get involved. But we're not on here to talk about why we think that Ipswich are better.
No,
if they want to talk about our game and us, that's absolutely fine. But I'm not getting caught up with the fact that Leeds are the better than Ipswich.
Let's talk Alex Mitchell because he's very popular with Lincoln City fans. Lincoln, by the way, I think they scored something ridiculous, like 15 goals in what's that, mate?
Did he play for Leeds?
Plays for another team.
He plays for Millwall. Oh, sorry, we're going back to is it a Millwall podcast? Oh, right, sorry, just checking.
It's a Lincoln podcast at the minute. He plays for Lincoln, but their fans absolutely adore him. By the way, Lincoln have scored something stupid like 16 goals in three games.
Yeah.
Lincoln are absolutely flying, and there's a little bet for the end of the season. Don't take any betting advice from me because I've already said earlier, but apparently there's
also a disclaimer when the fun stops. Stop.
Yeah, they're 7-2 to make the playoffs. I think that's quite a decent value.
And they're like 7 as well, aren't they?
They're only 3.
They're 8 now, but their goal difference has just been sorted right out in the last few games. But they must have a couple of decent scouts, judging by the players they signed in January.
For anyone who's listening, if you're having a bet, don't ever cash out the bet.
When the fun stops, stop. So, yeah, I think Alex Mitchell is going to be definitely someone we take a look at next year. I think as well, Harris likes to give the academy boys a chance. So I think that's going to be someone we have a look at. If I was on 10k a week, I'd be playing like Maradona and partying like Maradona as well. Good on you, Connor.
I was about to say, yeah. Probably
apparently, our highest paid player is Campbell on 18k. Most of that would come from Luton. Well, if we're going off what players are actually contracted to, I'd imagine Tanganga and probably Obafemi are both on more than 18k. If if I would have to guess. But
yeah, and I would imagine Brook Norton Cuffey probably is on a fair old whack at Arsenal because they pay good wages as well.
Oh, watch out, Benny's got beer muscles on. Savile is on more than 12k.
Just, Peter, just so I, you I know,
this, I know on. This website that you're listing off all these salaries from because someone, Terry, good evening, so you very kindly just sent it to me on Twitter. I've had a quick look down there, and Watmore being on 12k is not a number that I've heard.
Just so everyone's aware, I'm just going to go back to this comment from Simon. The watch out, Ben has got his beer muscles on. A couple of weeks ago, I had a few beers with Ben. He's a softie, really. He's a softie, really. Take no notice of him.
There you go. Lions Royal Terry, thank you for that. I have just looked on there, and yeah, I would say a lot of, as I said on the message to you, some of it is okay, and a lot of the other is complete rubbish, basically. Nisbet won't be on peanuts. No, he probably won't be. Can we sup? Can we? Wow, Ben, I'll let you respond to that.
What's all going on? Sorry, Simon, have I offended you?
And he's a Millwall fan as well. You can't even blame it. He's Leeds.
Oh, he's not even Leeds.
Yeah. Brian is not on 12. No, I think he's on about 16 grand a week. We need to find a Bob Pearson. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Nisbet 5k a week. I think he's on a bit more than that.
Nah, we would have offered him a lot more than that, than what he was being paid in Scotland today.
If Imer is driving, Mickey is probably around Bolton at the moment. Well, they can go and see Ben then, can't they?
Yeah, that's not far from me. Come stop him, fellas.
If we can get 3 or 4 million for Joe Bryan, I'll give him a piggyback to whoever gives us that money for him, to be honest with you.
Connor, where have you heard that, mate? Because Jesus.
Imer and Mickey have been hanged up in a Yorkshire police station. I don't think that's true, but if we can get any confirmation from them, that would be nice.
They should. Mickey said he'd be home about 10 o'clock. So
that's,
I mean,
how many lifts he had to do, because he said Imer had managed to sell all the seats in Mickey's car. So there's a call for me to be removed from the comments. Chris, in short, no. I wouldn't have trusted Rowett with the 12 million sale of Fleming. I mean, it would have been Aldridge probably who got the big chunk of that money, and I wouldn't have trusted him with that either. So,
you say that, and I understand that the incident at Stoke wasn't great, and we all say about Alex Aldridge. But if we had realistically, let's lowball it. Let's say we're 10 million. We got 10 million for Fleming, and we had to give a little bit to Fortuna Sittard, like we seem to think. So you say you've got £8 million to spend. Realistically, how many players do you think we would have bought in for that?
Well, I mean, you'd like to think it'd be at least three, right?
What, £2.5 million? You're looking at £2.5 million a pop?
But then that's us breaking our transfer records, what?
Three times.
Yeah, twice or three times, I was going to say. So would that happen? I don't know.
I don't know. That would have been an interesting one.
We signed Mayer and some people. You're never going to please everyone all the time, are you? That's the problem. Ben, over to you, mate. Ben, actually, we've got an important question for you. Here you go. Ben, if Bradshaw leaves in the summer, whose mum is catching your eye?
You know what? It was a question for you. So me and Omar obviously had a heart-to-heart after quite a few beers at Blackburn. I actually punched
him.
Did you witness this?
I asked you the same question. You answered the same way. So I'll ask it to Dan and everyone in the comments. What would you do if Brad is in the summer? Would you actually, do you think, one, we could sign someone better than him for, say, a free or a nominal fee? And two, would you then keep him around to be a squad player and not be your main number nine for next year?
I think as a squad player, yes, but I wouldn't want him as any more than a squad player, to be completely honest with you.
Stephen? Well, I mean, you answered the question when we were on the train. You said, yeah, I'd keep him, and no, we can't sign anyone better. So
there's a link.
Did I say that?
Wait, so who are we signing for a free transfer or a, say, less than £1 million that's going to do more than Bradders in the Championship? What?
I mean, we'd have to see who's available in the summer before we can answer that question. But
let the salt flow.
But I just, that's got to be a Leeds fan, isn't it? It's got to be.
Just the Nipper, probably means Jack the Ripper. You know, they're all dodgy in Yorkshire. I would just say no one's bitter about Leeds, mate, but you just like to walk around like you're this massive club. The 16th biggest in Europe, apparently.
This guy is this guy's one of the reasonable ones, to be fair to him. Fair play.
Yeah, as I say,
Mitchell was in the running for player of the season at Lincoln. I'm looking forward to him coming back and hopefully being part of the squad. Ipswich can score a lot of goals. Well, yeah, I know they can because they stuck seven past us, so they definitely can. Don't worry about that.
I love that comment. That's great. Yeah, that's football.
I know they can concede a lot as well because I've watched them lose 2-1 to Maidstone United a couple of weeks ago as well. So Lincoln have been flying since they sacked their ex Millwall player manager Mark Kennedy, and that's it, Ben, mate. I'm not going to say actually. I might just make Ben's head explode.
No, go on. No, I'm here for it.
I was going to say, Ben, mate, they replaced him with someone who was a youth coach.
Yeah, Leeds. Do you know what? I actually did hear that. And the chap that my mate who stayed with me, he's a Cambridge fan. So he hasn't been very happy with me for a while now. But yeah, he was saying to me that they had an ex Leeds coach.
Yeah. I'll have to go on Dragon's Den and back. Beg Theo. We got Brian for free. He's the highest paid player at the club. I don't think he is the highest paid player at the club. Hasn't really performed. I don't think, but Brian's someone where you're not going to get much of a resale value out of him because of his age.
No, and also, if he is on big money, which we do seem to think he's on big money because we didn't have to pay a fee, why would anybody be willing to take that on? They just wouldn't.
Joe's already got the Norse mum. There you go. Out of our last eight games, which one is the hardest? I am going to say Leicester. Yeah,
Leicester's the only game, in my opinion, that we really are up against it. The rest of them are games I think we should be going in thinking we should win. I know we've got to play West Brom and Sunderland away, but Sunderland are poor. West Brom at home. I know they're going all guns and that, but
yeah.
Take Leicester out of the equation. We try and win all of the other games. You're not going to, but
I'll tell you one thing though. Like I actually watched back our pre-season prediction video. I think it was actually us three and Omar that did the show that night. And boy, when us four sit down to do that show at the end of the season, react to our predictions, we're all going to be shamed for it. I think the audience is going to have a great time. Yeah, I said 9. Omar might be out the running. He said 6. I think Omar might be out.
I think we pressurised him into saying that, though.
He did. Anyway.
No, we didn't. We definitely didn't. He was definitely telling everyone we were making the playoffs.
He still is now, I've heard, on the way back from Leeds. Bradshaw had one good season at 5, get rid. I mean, it is hard to argue. I just think, as a squad player, I think it would be quite a good one. Neil Harris. There you go. There's someone I'd rather see than Tom Bradshaw. open question. What does Millwall need to do to find undiscovered players of high potential?
Oh, that's a million.
Looking at... No, it's not really, though. Look in their local area. How many players do you see that come from South London that end up going all over? I was talking about this on Friday. Fisher, who's gone to Norwich, and other players that from Bromley. Like, look on your own doorstep. There's so many players that are in the local area that you could easily bring in or invite into the club. I don't know how it works or what the process is. You know, it shouldn't be as difficult for us to do that, but we make it harder for ourselves.
I do fully understand the sort of Dulwich Hamlet and the Bromley case, right, with the two youngsters where they've gone to, is it Norwich and Brentford. I really do get that. I don't see why we would have a link with Bromley, for example, send players on loan when we wouldn't get first options to buy on their players. We don't know that we didn't, right? But I think, again, you need to be realistic in saying if Brentford and Norwich come in for a player and we are as well, who are they going to choose?
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm saying is the comment was about how to find undiscovered players of high potential. At the point they go to Bromley and there's 4 or 5 clubs looking at them, then you're already out of the running because we're not going to be able to compete with the wages.
That thing, right? So there was, I think, the Bromley fellow, I can't remember his name. That is either the guy that went to, sorry, the Dulwich Hamlet guy went to Norwich, right? And the Bromley guy went to Brentford.
I thought it was 2 from Bromley. Fisher's gone to Norwich. And is it Kraus, the midfielder, that's gone? He's gone to Brentford.
My whole point, mate, is we don't know that we weren't in for him, right? But So we could have been going in for them, but as soon as you've got clubs like Norwich and Brentford, again, as I say, going in, and again, you go back to your point of identifying local talent. It pains me to fucking say it, but if you've got Crystal Palace knocking on the door and you've got us, it's, unfortunately, there's only one winner, right?
Again, I understand that point.
And where they are,
again, it's difficult. No, it's difficult because they are in the Premier League, but they also can't sign every single player, can they?
But it's just the top players, they're always going to have a cherry pick.
We have mentioned this so many times, and it's going to be a real prominent show for us and for the listeners and for anyone that's interested over the summer on our recruitment, because it's going to be a big deal this summer again.
Yeah, it's a very important summer again.
That's going to be like a six-part show, that, because it's going to be hours of discussion.
Absolutely. Just block out the weekend. But it's just recruitment off the field. We've never really had the proverbial, the big black book that we can, you know, tap up other clubs and but it just there has to be, I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a scout and I don't work for a football club, but there has to be a way that the football club or someone at the club can go out to local clubs, to the local area, to at least to a Bromley. And, you know, we've got Alan Dunn there, you know, surely. And I know
exactly my point. We've got a direct link with that club, right?
Yeah.
We haven't been able to find those players.
No.
Can I just chuck another one at you here, right? We were just said about everyone, all the top clubs having extensive scouting and analyst networks. How have we been able to sign Adam Meyer? And I'm not absolutely for any minute discrediting him. We don't know anything about him. We've seen him for 15 minutes against Coventry or whatever it was, and he looked very lively. How have we been able to cherry pick him or sign him as a young player who had he had decent numbers, right, for Morecambe?
Reasonable.
So how have we been able to sign him? And I'm asking that from a sense of how have we been able to, and other clubs haven't seen him, and two, how have we been able to sign him, and why haven't other clubs signed him? So I'll chuck it at both of you in two-part question there.
I think, and this is just, this might be really, really harsh on him, and it might be really harsh on Edwards and Aldo and whatever, whoever was pulling the strings behind the scenes. But do you honestly think that there were many Championship clubs looking at a League Two winger?
Well, that's a loaded question. Right?
So, that's one thing. The second thing is, and this is a bit of a cop-out answer, I don't know how we've identified Adam Meyer or why we'd identified Adam Meyer. Maybe Edwards did see that we needed a winger. I think it was obvious that we did. We all said it for months that we needed one. So that's the route that they'd gone down. Why him, I don't know. But, and again, I'm not gonna throw him under the bus. I actually think that Meyer could well be a really, really good prospect. He could really, really be someone that does come good eventually. But you do have to question, as you said, Ben, if Norwich and Brentford are coming in for players from Bromley and we're out of the question, and this is just a big if Lincoln and Shrewsbury are going in for Adam Meyer, and then all of a sudden Millwall are in the question, he'd be an idiot not to jump. He's jumping up two leagues for a start. His wages is probably a bit higher than, it will be higher than, do you know what I mean? So I don't know how he was identified, but I also think that we've worked on the basis that other clubs do it to us would be the bigger fish. We've done it with him.
But I suppose my point there is a loaded question. So why haven't other local clubs to Morecambe, your Blackburns, your Burnleys, your whoever's, right, in that sort of northwest area, looked at him or known of him? I'm just playing devil's advocate, right? And I'm just chucking it out there from the local talent point of view. And how have we been able to identify this young lad, as I say, who put up decent numbers, or what we'd heard about as decent numbers? Dan, what's your thoughts?
What Dan Riggs has said here, mate, about how we found him.
went to Blackpool for the weekend in the middle of the
yeah. Yeah, I think you lads have kind of said everything that that needs to be said on it. To be honest, we know where we kind of sit in the food chain, if you like, and it's happened to us in terms of our absolute best youth prospects have both been pinched by City recently, haven't they? In terms of Giabi and Edouizi, we don't even get to see him in the first team. I think that kind of says a lot, really, about where we are in the chain in terms of getting players.
So reading between the lines of both your answers without saying it is we don't think he's actually that good. And we don't
that's
know.
That's not... we don't know.
Mate, I can't tell you if he's any good or not because I wasn't a big watcher of Morecambe before January and I haven't seen him play that much.
That's exactly my point, right? So that, as I said, we've got all these clubs. We're saying now every club's got an extensive scout and an analyst network. And we're the ones who've picked up Adam Mayer. How, if he's...
Yeah.
If he's that good, how's it happened? That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I'm
sorry,
and I'm not discrediting the young lad. We've seen him for 15 minutes. He looked bright. He put up decent numbers for Morecambe. I'm just playing devil's advocate, right? And I'm just chucking that out there to what we're talking about with young talent. If he's that good, how have we got him?
Well, Tunbridge there says NFC Mayer is an Aldo signing. We was after whilst Rout was here, we were linked with last summer. And I'm also just going to put up this comment, and I'm assuming this is a Leeds supporter. Deluded about Cooper, had his arm around Onta and not letting him get up. I've listened to all opposing team podcasts and have to see Millwall fan podcasts are the most deluded. Well, Andy, thanks for giving us your time this evening. But if you cannot see that Nonto raises his arm into Cooper's face, then I don't know what to say to you. I mean,
if someone did that to you on the street, you'd want them to be charged with GBH.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. After that incident, Cooper maybe was lucky to not get a second booking. But let's be honest, mate. The referee gave you everything else. So, you know, I mean, there was one point in the game where we literally took a corner, and as soon as Sav kicked the ball, the ref blew for a foul. The ball hadn't even got into the box. So,
we're playing both sides here, right, Stephen? I'd like to chat back to Andy and go, how the hell do you think Cooper did anything wrong there as a football fan? Not as a Leeds fan. What did he do wrong? If Andy could come back to us, I'd love to know. In that incident, not. I know he should have been sent off for five tackles after that, but in that incident in the corner, tell me what he did wrong. Madness.
We are. Dan has done an amazing job of catching up.
He has up
to date with it. We've been going for about an hour and 45 minutes. I'm going to do one last topic, a brief one before we do wrap up final thoughts and whatnot. I touched on it earlier about the five games under Harris. We've got 10 points. It's been we'd have all taken that, including Southampton and Leeds away. Two good home wins in there as well. After the international break, do we expect, you guys seem to think that we'll be safer a little bit sooner than the end of towards the back end of the season? I'm not sure. But do you think at that point you might see Harris tinker with a team and have a look at some other players for if and when we start preparing for next season?
Hopefully, yeah. I'd like to see Mayer get some more game time. SA and Amaku, I think they're the obvious ones. And in terms of, I mean, I hope he's not here next season. But if we're not planning to sign Longman, then once safety's secured, he probably needs to disappear out of the team, to be completely honest with you. Harris clearly seems to like him. It clearly seems to be a player in there. Because,
No, I
don't like Longman, but three managers have consistently given him game time. So he must be doing something in training to warrant it.
I reckon
it's in his loan agreement that he's got to play a certain amount of games. It's got to be. Has to be.
Dan Kemp, MK Dons, Swindon here. He's a very good player, but he did play for West Ham when he was younger, so I think that might rule him out.
Yeah.
He's very good, though. I have watched him play.
I'm asked about where they used to play, got to be honest.
Well, I mean, we've all just, as Mickey says, a dead silent on a podcast is really, really good. So I think on that, at that point, we'll do our outro. start to wrap it up. Guys, it's been a little bit of an interesting show. We were supposed to have Jay. We were supposed to start at 8. That didn't happen. Started at 8:30. Ben had to go. I was on my own. Dan come in. Ben come back. Ben's taken on the Leeds fans. Ultimately, Ben, you've not had the best of days with your betting and the fact that Millwall lost. Can you leave us with some words of positivity going into the international break, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Wasn't disappointed with today at all. Obviously disappointed with the result, but the performance itself, much better than the Blackburn game. If we play like that for the rest of the season, I think we'll be fine. West Brom will be a tough game, but it's a home game. If we can go unbeaten in the three games after the international break and over Easter, West Brom, Huddersfield and Rotherham, then I think we'll be fine. But I think we need at least one win. If I'd take 5 points in those games.
And Dan, same thing to you. Can we have power of positivity? Let's drop the negative Dan
attitude.
No, you've been all right. You've been all right. So we leave the international break. So for the international break, 10 points under Harris, positivity for the final 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just look back at the last 5 games and you can say what you want to about the football. Obviously, it's not the most pleasing in the eye, but if we had Edwards, to be honest, I think we'd be gone. I think if Edwards was still in charge, I'd probably say we'd be relegated at this point, to be completely honest with you. So we've given ourselves a great chance. It's in our own hands at the moment. We don't need to be worrying what other teams are doing. But I do think it's important that we do get probably 4 points from the next 3 games, whether that's even if it is a win against West Brom and a draw against Huddersfield. You don't really want to, slip up, open the door up for these other teams, because as some of these other teams have shown in the past few weeks, they can put form together. So you don't really want to give them the chance to get back into it. So, I hope everyone doesn't get too bored watching Gareth Southgate's football in the next few weeks. And we will try and get some stuff out for you over the international break. I think Stephen's done. I don't know, Stephen, tell everyone if you've done some filming or not, because I thought you had, but probably
you haven't. There's a couple of bits that should be coming out hopefully over the coming week. I think we'll be looking at a pre-record as well, you chaps, as you know, for the international break. A couple of comments just coming in. Apparently Napoli want Tanganga, so that's out the window. Chris Brown, yeah, 5 won't do it, reckon we need another 9.
We were just saying for the next three games.
Bit concerned about going on the attack, but other than that, we should be fine. 3 wins, Rotherham, Plymouth, Huddersfield, Rotherham Wednesday, and Birmingham down from Yozza.
We said it in the group, right? Birmingham have actually got a really tough running. Really tough running.
Blackburn have got to play all. They've got to play all 4 of Leeds, Ipswich, Southampton, and Leicester in their run-in. So that's not the Blackburn are in big trouble. They're really in big trouble. And I will leave with this comment on the screen from Andrew. Another great show, lads. Cheers. Thank you guys for tuning in to listen to us waffle. We did have some of our friends from Leeds United join us, so we had to humour them and let them.
With Mark, whatever his name was.
Well, he didn't come back, so you win that round, Ben.
Have a lovely evening, being the 16th richest club in Europe.
Thank you guys for tuning into us this evening. It's been much appreciated. If you can like and subscribe, I'm doing my Mickey piece now. That would be really, really appreciated. We will put getting some bits and pieces out for you guys over the international break. Follow us on all the socials, all of that jazz. All that's really left to say is 10 points from 15 under Neil Harris. We'd have all taken that before the Southampton game. We've given ourselves probably a much better opportunity than what we would have under Joe Edwards to keep us in the division. 8 cup finals. Would you really want anyone else other than Neil Harris in charge?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.